So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les, you weren't here last week. We had a good week.
Very good, Doc. You're very observant.
I just noticed that you're back.
Well, yeah, I was conspicuous by my absence, right? And actually, a lot quieter.
Now, today is the 1 year anniversary of Wrestling Weekly, Les.
Hey, all right.
We've done it for 1 year now.
And many different nights did we start?
Well, many different nights of the week, of course.
We've tried everything, right? But anyway, we're at Tuesday night. Well, at least in Cincinnati, it's Tuesday night. And, yeah, that's cool. You know, it didn't seem like it's been a year.
No, it really hasn't.
No.
Seems like it's been much longer. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. We've had great guests. And hopefully we'll continue. Now that we're on the Wrestling Radio Network, we'll continue to be bringing you incredible guests every week, like tonight's guest.
Hey, yeah. Right, B.J. Whitmer, and from Ring of Honor, and Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South, baby.
Baby, all right, baby.
You have to say baby when you talk about Jimmy Hart.
All right, baby, got you. And, of course, I'm for Taylor Hicks. Now, if I'm looking for a date, Catherine would actually be the call. But since I'm not, Taylor Hicks on American Idol, everybody. Call in your votes. And, of course, check out my idol, Simon.
Simon? He's your idol?
No. Well, when I do camps, and I'll tell people if you're not familiar with me or if you've never worked with me before, do you watch American Idol? And yes, well, I'm Simon.
Yeah, I kind of see that.
Well, no, you know what? I mean, seriously, but you know what? And my wife and I have had this discussion, too, with him. You know, when he says it's good, you can go to the bank with that, you know? I mean, there's in this situation, I think patronizing people is not in their best interest. You know?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you know, and your mom's going to tell you you're the most handsome child she's ever seen, Doc.
Oh, yeah.
And your girlfriend's going to say you're the best sex she's ever had.
Well, yeah,
you know,
of course.
And, but I don't get paid to lie to these guys. If your drive kick sucks, it sucks.
Right.
You know, let's fix it if we can, or get away from it, whatever the case. But no. You know, yeah, I'm about, you know, but yeah, American Idol, man, would you like to turn those kind of numbers, huh?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, speaking.
You don't even have to win anymore. All you got to do is come in the top 50, and you've got an album.
Well, you know, well, they have the tour going on too with the top 12, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's, you know, there's money in it, just you know, whatever. But I think, I think your top 5 or 6 kids will end up making a living at it anyway. You know, one way or the other. But yeah, I'm a member of the Soul Patrol, man. I'm in for Taylor Hicks. But
29 years old, and he's already gone gray. You have to be cool.
Well,
in
the entertainment business, it can get to you. Let me tell you,
he's younger than I am, and he's into soul. I mean, I can't fathom that.
Well, I can. It's cool, man. It's what's happening.
It's good stuff. He's going to bring it. He's going to bring it back. It's going to be popular again.
Well, you know, I think a lot of that stuff's not time dated. You know, Otis Redding and Aretha Franklin stuff. You know, Tina Turner. I don't think that's time dated necessarily.
No.
You know, and I can go back farther, obviously, than that. You know, but if you're a blues purist, if you will, as Dusty might say. You know, you could go back to Lydon Hopkins and Jimmy Reed and Muddy Waters and that sort of thing. But anyway, on with wrestling. Right? Speaking of numbers, TNA did a 1.1, I see.
Yes, 1.1. Very
well, that's
good.
That's good for them, yeah.
That's the highest number since they debuted on their new 11 o'clock time slot.
Well, good, man. That means they're picking up something, you know, some numbers. That's all good, I think.
And that's up from a 1.0 from the week before, so.
Yeah.
Good news for TNA. Bad news for Lionel Tate. I don't know if you remember Lionel Tate.
Lionel Tate.
He was the little boy that at age 12, he was dubbed the wrestling killer when he claimed he was imitating wrestling moves when he killed a six-year-old girl.
Okay, yes, I do. I think it was in Florida.
Yes.
Right? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he just got locked up again for something.
Yes, he
was. Robbing a pizza man or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he was just sentenced to 30 years in prison for violating his probation. He was arrested last year for armed robbery of a pizza delivery man. He was sentenced on possession of the gun charge, and police said he used that gun for the robbery. Tate had initially pled guilty on the robbery charge, but he later withdrew it, claiming he didn't understand the terms that he agreed to. So, Lionel Tate, 30 years. And,
see, and you got to have high aspirations to rob a pizza guy, too, right? I mean, you're really reaching for the stars there.
Absolutely.
And when I say that, no offense to those who are delivering pizzas, but I mean, what kind of bankroll do these guys have on them? $50, $60?
Yeah.
I mean,
change.
Really? Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, it's talk about desperation. But anyway.
But
well, good. Lionel then is booked solid for the next 30 years.
Yes.
Right? I heard that.
The SmackDown superstars Booker T and Batista were in New York City the other day,
yes.
Representing WWE at the CW Network's inaugural upfront presentation. Now, prior to the event, Booker and Batista had breakfast together.
Are you reading this?
Yes, I'm reading this.
Okay, just checking. Okay, go on.
While the two superstars erupted into a fistfight last week on the set of the SummerSlam promo shoot in Los Angeles, Booker said the breakfast was amicable, and he told WWE.com that they had a good talk, they'll have no problem working together and being professional. So it looks like they've made up for now.
Well, good. And you know, and see there again, I don't know. I know both gentlemen and have been around both. I've gotten along with both. But, you know, to say that somebody doesn't show respect for the business in this day and age is not uncommon.
No, it's not.
Because, well, when I say, no. Seriously, what I said, because especially those who are self-taught, you know, or have been taught by younger people, some develop it and some never do. But anyway, yeah, that's not uncommon. But I hate to see that happen. Really,
sometimes
there's enough stress and nonsense in the dressing room and politics without the boys biting at each other's butts. And I just hate to see it because, like I say, I know both guys and I get along with both and I just but there's a lot of pressure at that end of the business.
Yeah,
up in the nosebleed section.
There seems to be a lot of more talking things out these days, though.
Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. That's not where I'm going. But in the other days, whoever won the fight was right. You know, am I right?
Well, I don't know necessarily, but that's always the case either. But and this thing went on for 5 minutes. That's the only part of it. That's a long time.
Well, from what I heard, the whole argument, starting when they started to argue until it was over, was 5 minutes. The fight itself was 30 seconds.
Okay.
Those are the reports that are coming out.
I can buy into that.
Yeah. So I don't know if WWE is going to make an angle out of this, and they probably will because it's free publicity. Who knows? We'll see when Batista comes back.
Oh, okay. If they do, okay, why not they make an angle? I mean, at least it has some legs to it anyway.
Mm.
You know, but I read where Book had said, you know, he could work with him. And that's, you know, the guys I teach, well, BJ can tell you, he's going to, you know, I always say, you know, if the devil can work, you may have to work with him. So, but you don't have to eat at his table or sleep in his bed.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's, you can't expect, you know, that dressing room is full of, well, it's the same, baseball, football, whatever. A lot of different guys from a lot of different cultures, and, you know, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a testosterone-laden situation to begin with.
Right.
Everybody wanting the spot, you know, the higher the better, obviously. So it's, you know, surprising. You know, it's sad that it happens at all. It's, sometimes I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. But, you know, like I say, I hope they've moved on, and that's cool if they had breakfast. I'm up with that.
Absolutely. PWTorch.com is reporting that feelers have been issued to Jeff Hardy, suggesting that WWE would be interested in bringing him back once his TNA contract expires in July. It's not known if a TNA contract renewal is even an option for Hardy, whose unreliable behavior has greatly upset management. It's not known if Hardy would consider even going back to WWE for the time being. Jeff Hardy is remaining in shape by training with students at Shannon Moore's Wrestling School.
Well, is he not working some in the indies, too? He's working with, the group that Dave Hebner, Hermie Sadler,
mm-hmm.
up there in Virginia, and they want to be in North Carolina and around and about. I think he's worked shots with them.
Right.
You know what? I think if it's better for his head and if it's better for his lifestyle just to do what he's doing, instead of aggravating himself and everybody else, and I don't mean him any, you know, I mean, if he can go back and be structured, I'm up with that, too, you know. But I just think, I don't know, you know, I think he's been down this road, and he's just a guy that needs to march to his own drumbeat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, but like I say, the only other thing is it does end up putting heat back on his brother, who probably doesn't need any heat. Whatever.
Yeah.
Eminem's broken up, and that ain't good.
No.
I hate that. I honestly do. That was a breath of fresh air for tag teams coming in, and I hate to see that happen.
And it looks like Nitro Molina, you know, even though they've been quote-unquote fired, are going to be the ones to step up and have the singles careers.
Well, whatever.
Or at least the pushes.
What? You know what? I must have missed the story. What's the story, or what's the assumed story on this?
On the firing?
No, on the breaking the team up. Why?
I have no clue. There's never been any story on it.
Okay.
It's just something that they decided to do. I guess they were getting too popular. No, seriously, I don't know.
No, I was under the impression that there was some problem within the team.
No, I haven't heard anything.
Because I can't imagine why they're breaking them up anyway. I mean, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I had heard that there was a problem with Trevor Murdoch and Garrison Cade.
What do you mean, a problem between them?
Between the two, I heard they didn't get along, and that's why they broke them up. Just rumors and speculation at this point.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Again, there's two guys that I've worked with. Lance was in my camp for a year, with Murdoch, I've worked with Trevor when he, you know, at Harley's and so forth. There again, I've known tag. I won't even mention who's because I don't want to embarrass either one of them.
Right.
But I knew a brother tag team that legitimately did not get along. But in the ring, it was cool, right?
Right.
I mean, if you brought the finish in the dressing room, and brother A was in the dressing room, brother B was elsewhere, then the minute you've told A the finish, you know, or what's going to happen in your angle or whatever it is you're doing,
mm-hmm.
he'll say, well, you better find my brother and tell him. Because, meaning, he wasn't going to talk to him.
Right.
But
was this
now,
a legit brother?
Yes.
Brother?
Yes, blood brothers.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not talking about a gimmick brothers. But then they also would get in that ring, and they were a cohesive unit. They took care of business. You know, so.
I've heard this before, but I cannot remember who they were, but.
Well, I mean, it's probably happened with more than one, but I knew this particular brother team quite well. Worked with them in several territories. Come to think of it, I know of a couple that's happened to quite a few. No, seriously. But,
yeah.
But I'll tell you, with this particular twosome, you know, like back in the day, guys carpooled, right? I mean, and you paid the whoever was driving so many cents a mile, right, to make the trip with them. And, you know, one of the brothers might call me and say, hey, you're going to such town. Is your car full? No. Well, can I ride with you? Yeah, cool. Okay. So then 2 days later, Brother B calls and says, hey, do you have an opening spot to go to such town? Yeah, I do. It just got one. Oh, who else is going? Well, so-and-so and your brother. Oh, okay, I'll find a ride elsewhere. Now,
wow.
So at first used to bother me, right? And I'm thinking, I don't want to make either one of them mad at me, right? Because I get along with both of them.
Right.
But after a while, I just, in fact, after a while, which I knew them well, I just said, look, whoever calls first gets the line. I just, you know. No, I mean, you know, because if A called first, and I get, you know, you get my point. But anyway,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And going back, yes, I understand guys don't get along, but again, it's a business, man. You know, that's sad. Because I thought they were a good team.
Mm-hmm.
What little they were together, I thought they, you know, they do well.
Miss Destiny's got a question in the chat room.
Who? What?
Miss Destiny has a question in the chat room. She says, hey, Doc and Les, I heard a rumor from SmackDown backstage that Batista is trying to steal Melina from Nitro and have an affair. Is that true? Well, we're not backstage.
I don't know, Miss Destiny. What are you smoking and where, where can we all go? I don't. I have not heard that. And I don't know. I don't want to say. I don't think so.
I've not heard anything like that either.
No. Now, as I understand it, here again, well, I know that Dave Batista is married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Secondly, are not Nitro and Lena the couple?
Yes.
Okay. See? I mean, again, that's just what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say probably not.
Yeah, a lot of people say Melina and Nitro, they just pretty much hang around each other, and they become very distant from the rest of the locker room.
Well.
And I don't know if that has something to do with Eminem breaking up or anything like that.
But, gosh, I would hope not.
This is, you know, one of the things. But I kind of get the feeling that WWE, especially on SmackDown, just doesn't seem to care about the tag team division.
I don't think they care about it much in the game. And you know, and the crazy, well, like, you know, the whole Spirit Squad thing.
Oh God.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame. You know that they, because again, tag teams and or cruiserweights, you know, both strengthen your middle, make your, you know, having their own programs and things make the middle of your card stable, and you know, then you worry. Mix and match, you know, in the top two or three matches and pay more attention to that. I just think it not only is a comfort zone, I think it's a different type of entertainment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And tag teams have always, you know, done okay, and with the exception of a few territories, tag teams have always been semifinal or middle of the card, which, again, you know, I look at a lot of guys in our business like special teams players in the NFL. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or a third down specialist on defense or whatever the case may be, you know, that doesn't lessen, you know, you got to be in the top match. Well, you got to, you know, not necessarily.
Right.
Not necessarily. But, yeah, I think it's a shame that, you know, the tags aren't doing better. But as far as Melina and Batista, I don't know. They might have some great children.
Speaking of tag teams,
I'm being facetious.
I know you are, Les. Speaking of tag teams, we have new co-hardcore champions since last night. Did you catch this?
The new hardcore champions?
Yes, new co-hardcore champions. I really hope they don't bring that belt back.
Yes, I did. I saw it.
I hope that was just symbolic.
I really think. You know what I think? I don't think anybody wants Mick to be a heel.
No, it's so hard.
Well,
boo him.
just off the top of his head for no reason that I can come up with, you know. And again, you know me and logic. I'm always trying to put logic. I don't know.
You don't see his reason as being a good enough reason.
And you see, I don't see building much off of that particular match, or the Cena Van Damme match, because they are going to be one night only, I would assume, because first of all, Terry's not going to work a full schedule for them. Cena's not going to be on SmackDown, I mean on ECW, and I would assume that means Van Damme doesn't necessarily have to do the job, but that would be my guess, you know, because, you know, whatever. But I think the Helmsley switch, change, whatever you want to call it, turning babyface, is a good move.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll pump a little life into him and the whole situation.
It's fresh, and it's the best time to do it is right now. It's working, too.
Yeah.
It's getting lots of good pops. Kane, last night, finally come out with the reason why May 19th was such a horrible date for him.
You know what? I am tickled to death for Glenn. I don't watch. I don't do Freddy Krueger either, Glenn. So don't be upset. I'm just not into those movies.
But, I kind of like them, especially with a date.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Well,
she has
you
to
know,
grab, she has to grab you in fear.
Exactly. Exactly.
I got it, Doc. No, seriously, I'm happy for Glenn. I'm just not. I'm not into the particular. You know what I do think though is overkill and childish and hokey. Mm. It's the whole thing of getting the cast to say yes, that's really him. He's really a bad guy.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Kill people.
That was
you
pretty
know,
cheesy.
Yeah. Well, it was so obvious that the actors didn't have hearts in that, right? And they don't understand our business, so it came across as just exactly what it was, you know. And it's just, you know, I was watching that on Raw, and I'm thinking, you know, is the actual 2 hours used for product placement and to sell other things other than the, you know what I mean?
I think it always has been.
No. It obviously hasn't always been because there, years ago, the only thing that were ever sold in the arenas were 8x10 pictures, and the boys took care of them themselves. So.
Oh, yeah. When I say always, I'm not going back that far. I'm going back...
Not to the prehistoric time.
Maybe the Attitude Era, maybe. But,
it's so graphic and like the Maria the one night working out on the Bowflex, or whoever it was, I don't remember. But anyway, and mentioning, hey, I have this, you know, Super Bowflex or whatever, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, and then this whole thing around this movie. And, of course, I realize they have money invested in it. I don't know what it cost to make the thing, but still, it's just...
The movie cost $8 million to make.
Okay.
They made, I think, 4.1 last weekend.
Yeah.
Which is good, because they're on track to make their money back, at least.
Right, sure. Which now, here again, I'm not in the movie business, but I would assume that's good on your first outing.
Mm-hmm. If they had done two or something, it would have been a flop, but... they came in sixth for the week, of course, behind Da Vinci Code, which was number one. Over the Hedge was number two, and some returning shows, RV, Poseidon, things like that came in fourth, fifth. So sixth really isn't that great for an opening, but they opened in, like, a little bit more than 1,000 theaters, which is less than half of what a normal opening is. And they came in third overall for the average ratings, average take per screen. They came in third overall. So that was pretty good, especially against, you know, Da Vinci Code and Over the Hedge. Yeah. You're not going to beat those guys.
No. Well, Da Vinci Code has had so much publicity, adverse or otherwise.
Right.
You know, and Tom Hanks is a pretty strong drawing card, too, when it comes to Academy Award movies.
Mm-hmm. So they come in third in the average per theater. That's very good. It's a good first outing for them.
Sure. That's what I said. And I'm tickled for Glenn. Glenn works hard. He's a good guy. He deserves it, man. I'm up with that, too.
Yes, I'm still out to see the movie. I'm going to go see it, and I'm going to give all of you guys a review.
Now, we're talking about tapes. I just finished watching Shimmer, the first volume, volume one.
Oh, yeah.
And, no, Doc. Put your tongue back in your mouth.
Shimmer was great.
What? You know, no, that's it. I just want to, props to Prazak. Hey, all right, there's a campaign bumper sticker. Props to Prazak. Let's face it, the bar has been lowered in women's wrestling considerably in the last number of years, and he's obviously trying to raise the bar, and has. Some good matches, some good talent. Collectively, some of the best female talent I've seen under one roof in forever, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, but if I had a complaint, some of the matches were just way too long for the experience level of the girls. In other words, they became repetitive in what they were doing, and some of it just turned into punch, kick, and that's only good for so long, but some very good talent. I see. I haven't watched the second one yet, but if you want attractive young ladies that are athletes, and it's not there's no bra and panties matches, there's no pillow fights, and they actually use holes. It's quite an amazing concept called professional wrestling.
I had actually seen Volume 2 so far. I have not gotten to see Volume 1 yet.
Uh-huh.
I should have, but I don't know. I ran out of time. I just got too busy. But I will watch it.
Did you ever thought about starting in chronological order? Or not?
Actually, I got Volume 2 before I got Volume 1.
Oh, okay.
So I watched Volume 2 right away, and the Volume 1 that they sent me didn't work, so they had to send me another one.
All right.
So I saw two first.
But I think Dave's going in the right direction. And again, it's some good female athletes who are attractive, and understand wrestling psychology and try to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's cool. You know, I would definitely recommend it. You know, and again. I think the key here is that they come across as being able to wrestle.
Yes.
It's not a cat fight or any of that craziness. So.
I think they need titles, though.
What do you mean?
More than one. Titles.
Oh, you mean like championships?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're working on that.
Okay.
But I want to go back to Kane real quick before we get to a break and we get to B.J. Whitmer.
Okay.
I was doing some research because I had not figured that WWE was going to give the reason why Kane hated May 19th. And I came across something that was kind of odd. On May 18th, 1998, I believe it was 98. Yes, 1998, Kane found out that his father was Paul Bearer.
Uh-huh.
I forgot all about that.
Well, I knew they'd gone with that angle. Should we call Percy and blame him on this?
Yeah, May 18th. They could have went for both days like that. But, so that's the second most horrible day in Kane's life, May 18th. So I just wanted to get to that.
I thought maybe it might have been Katie Vick.
Well, that was a horrible day, too.
Yeah, well, see, Kane's had a lot. No wonder he's a badass, right?
Yeah.
He's had a lot of horrible days.
He's just mentally screwed up, man.
Well, aren't we all?
From all
possibly, these horrible experiences. He may be the only sane human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Heels asking a question. Let's see. Make it a good one. Doc and Les, did you notice RVD missed the briefcase when he went to kick it in Cena's face?
Yes.
Yes, I did notice that.
Yes, I certainly did. And the interview wasn't too impassioned either.
No, I heard that his interview didn't come off very well. I thought it made its point, but...
It wasn't strong. I mean, but then that's not his strong suit either.
Mm-mm.
You know?
He does this talking in the ring.
Okay. Now you're cutting a promo.
No, I'm not.
Now you're cutting a promo.
We got some great stuff on the show for you to come. Jimmy Hart is going to be here live. We've got...
I hope he's going to be here live. Yes. Otherwise, it's going to be a rather boring time.
Les, we could have a pre-recorded interview sometime.
Jimmy on the respirator breathing. Oh, that is me. No, listen.
I didn't say a real live.
Quick, real quick before we break and get BJ on, I would, on all seriousness,
yes.
that Steve Dahl, Stephen Dunn, of Well Done, is in Nashville Hospital. His lungs have shut down. He's on life support.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like everybody to say a little prayer for him. Good guy. And, man, I just hope he takes a turn for the better.
Yes, absolutely. We are going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we've got, of course, B.J. Whitmer from Ring of Honor on the program. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly on the Wrestling Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and Get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our special guest from Ring of Honor, Mr. BJ Whitmer. BJ, thanks for being on the program tonight.
Thanks for having me. Hey, BJ, to start with, fame in Ring of Honor of late is costly in terms of physical damage. You've become the poster boy for whippings for CZW, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm taking my licks there, I guess you could say. So, but I'm still here, you know. I keep going. So
that particular feud, while we're talking about it, from what I can gather from reading and reports and stuff, is really red hot in Philly in that area.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Out east, it's really hot, and it's actually turned up the heat a little bit, like in the Midwest too, where the people, you know, because they're not as familiar with CZW because they don't like travel around as much. They're primarily based in Philly. There, they'll do some shows in Jersey, some shows in Delaware and stuff. So the fans wasn't really familiar with their product. I think they were familiar with the guys that have come in as a part of that feud, though. So, I mean, they've gotten behind in the Midwest, which was, I think, a little surprising. So.
Yeah, that's man, and the way Gabe has booked it, it's got a, you know, has its twists and turns. I'm seeing, you know, why it would have some legs too. It's going to last for a while, I think.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to, you know, which is good for everybody. You know, it's doing good business for us all right now. So I couldn't ask, you know, for any more from it.
Yeah, I'll spit it out here in a minute. You're back to doing some tours for Noah. You got anything lined up there soon?
I haven't spoke to Harley lately. Hopefully I'll be able to get in at least one this year. I was able to get one last year, so I'm hoping to get maybe one more before the end of the year. Like I said, I haven't spoken with Harley yet, who books me out to the NOAA office. So So I just really need to get in touch with him and find out, you know, if they have plans on using me or not this year.
Right. What's the difference between NOAH and wrestling in the U.S.? Do you have to change your style at all?
Not so much. It's just more frequent work, I guess you could say, because over there you're working 5-6 nights a week for the most part. We're here in the States, you know. You know, slow weekends like one night, but then again, I can pick up, you know, sometimes it's maybe 3 nights a week. So, you know, I mean, it's a pretty big difference, you know, when you go from over there working like 5 nights a week to only working like 2 nights a week here.
So how come they had you split up with your former tag team partner where you held the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship with Jimmy Jacobs? Was that because of the, to make way for the Combat Zone Wrestling Ring of Honor feud?
I don't think it was. I think me and Jimmy had done about as much as we could as a tag team. I mean, we were 2-time champs. We had pretty much, you know, had matches with all the tag teams that were there at the time. And I think it had kind of run its course. And I know Gabe wanted to kind of get me back into the mix of the singles stuff again, because I did that, the singles matches, you know, for a good portion of the first year I was there. And then for, like, the next two, I was, you know, either in a tag, you know, doing the tag stuff with Danny Moff and then eventually the tag stuff with Jimmy Jacobs.
Are you enjoying being a single star more, or did you like the tag team?
I love tag team wrestling, but, you know, I'm enjoying because, like I said, for 2 years there, I did hardly, you know, I maybe had, you know, a handful of singles matches throughout those 2 years. And, yeah, I'm really enjoying the singles run just because it's something a little different for me right now than what I've been used to the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. You guys were mentioned in Entertainment Weekly last year, kind of.
Yeah, I believe that we were, they didn't mention us by name, I believe they called us two long-haired pretty boys,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
But that was good for the company that, you know, a mainstream publication like that covered
Ring of Honor. Absolutely. Anytime you can get any coverage like that, especially for, like, independent wrestling and stuff, it's just great.
It's just too bad that they didn't mention you guys by name.
Yeah, that would have been kind of cool. You know, I would have had to picked up the Entertainment Weekly, you know, but, you know, just have it around. But it was still cool that our match got mentioned.
You know, BJ, let me ask you to point something out. We were talking about Japan, talking about Ring of Honor, talking about IWA Mid-South. You can say, because, you know, how long have you been working now? What, 5 years?
A little over 6 now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
getting old.
Yeah, it's like about 6.5 right now. So.
All right. But what I was going to say is a lot of guys, I mean, but talking about those, working those different places, the styles do vary and the pacing varies. But I think that's one of the things that you can tell if there's any of these kids listening that are planning on starting a career or just early in their career, how important having a good foundation is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a good foundation, you know, good fundamentals, you know, learn the basics thoroughly, you know, and you can pretty much, you know, adapt yourself to any style you need to if you have that solid foundation.
And that's what you've had to do, too, because, I mean, you know, it's a little, more solid style, I'd say, in Ring of Honor than some other places.
Yeah, you just kind of have to adapt, you know, especially, you even have to adapt your style each night you go out there with each different person. You know, that you have a match with. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you go from, like, CZW to IWA to Ring of Honor Japan, you know, you have to vary your style and adapt to, I guess, your environment or, you know, the style that company, like, pushes or, you know, wants to have their company portray, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's because too often you see these guys who put the cart before the horse and they're doing 450 splash and stuff before they even understand why they're doing 450 splashes.
Yeah, because you'll get much more out of anything you do if you do it right at the right time, you know, and for the right reason.
Well, you sound like an old timer.
6 years in, he's an old timer already. That's because he was trained by the great Les Thatcher.
Yeah, I know about the great.
Absolutely.
tell us a story about training with Les, if you have
okay.
any stories.
I don't think I really have any stories about it. I was just, you know, a huge fan of wrestling, you know, growing up, you know, loved it. Got out of high school, tried the college thing, just was kind of partying too much, you know, wanting to hang out a little bit. And, you know, it found like some, a list of like wrestling schools, professional wrestling schools, because at the time I didn't really know how to go about, you know, getting into the business or getting involved in wrestling at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a list of schools on the internet, started making some calls, found the address and the, you know, the number and the website for Les's school, and I was like, well, this is kind of close, you know, it's close to home, you know, because I live in Northern Kentucky, which was, it's about, I guess, a 35-minute drive or so from where the original school was at.
Yeah.
So I went up, you know, made an appointment to go up there and check it out, checked out a training session, you know, and I like what Les, you know, had to say. His resume was solid, to say the least, you know, so I figured, you know, it's close to home, you know, I can still live at home, you know, whatever, and still be able to work a regular, you know, 40-hour-a-week job and still be able to train and stuff. So,
right.
You know, and I liked, you know, what I saw during the training session that I watched and stuff, so I decided, you know, I was going ahead and give this a run while, you know, I'm a young man, you know, so I wasn't getting any younger at the time, so.
So were you a wrestling fan as a youngster?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, every Saturday morning, you know, up in the morning, that's when they had all the syndicated shows you could catch, like, in Northern Kentucky and the Cincinnati area here, you could catch, like, WWF, NWA Crockett stuff. There for a while before the buyout, they had some Bill Watts stuff on TV, was able to catch some world-class stuff, so. And if I happened to have, like, a baseball or a basketball game on the Saturday morning, I'd make my dad set the VCR to tape, you know, whichever ones I could tape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then come home that afternoon after my ball games or whatever and watch wrestling after that.
Who were some of your favorites growing up?
Oh, huge Rock and Roll Express fan.
Oh, yeah.
Huge Rock and Roll Express fan. So, Barry Windham, you know, and then now I've come to appreciate the guys more now that I, like, am a wrestler and I watch their old tapes and stuff like that. But guys like Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, you know, the Midnights,
mm-hmm.
guys like that. So
you were more of an NWA kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like that, you know, the blood and guts, the raw, you know, action to it, you know. I was definitely, you know, I definitely liked the NWA Crockett stuff the most out of probably anything. That and the Bill Watts stuff I liked a lot, too.
And he's talking about tag team stuff, and so that's why he works. I'm going to tell you a story on him. Him and Chet Jablonski, who's now in OVW.
Right.
We ran a bar show here in downtown Cincinnati, down the entertainment district, you know, every couple months for a while. And anyway, one night he worked down there with Tommy Dreamer and Raven, and him and
yep.
Chet.
Yeah, I remember that match.
Yeah, I do too, because you came back and you were floating on air because, Doc, the deal was it was just an old school tag team match. And it was the best match on the show, and you could see with BJ and Chet, it was like they were out there on this magic carpet, and these two old-timers are dancing them through it, and they didn't ever want to end. But it was one of the best matches I think I've ever seen you had, and it was just basic.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and then being in there with those guys, you know, the experience those guys had, you just kind of go along for the ride,
mm-hmm.
you know, absolutely. But, yeah, I can remember that match. I know exactly the match he was talking about. It was at a club, I believe the nightclub or bar that the show was at was Oscars, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I forget, too. Yeah, because that thing's had so many names.
Yeah, it's had a few names. I believe it was Oscars at the time.
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
It's gone through several owners and several different names. But, yeah, I still remember that match.
Yeah, that was a very good match. But, see, and that's the other thing Doc and BJ can tell you, too. There's a different psychology, different pacing for tags versus single matches.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's just... You know, you got to be able to adapt, like I said before, you know, and, you know, kind of be able to adapt to who you're in there with, too, also.
Right. Heel2006 has a question. He says, for someone new getting into wrestling, in your opinion, how much time should be spent in a wrestling school before trying to work a match with an indie?
You got to kind of leave up to your trainer, you know. You need to, you know, be able to trust their judgment on when you're ready. I know... When I trained, about 10 months or so, I spent, you know, just training. So I started reffing after, the first, couple months, which is just, the experience of reffing is, you know, was invaluable. You know, I can't put a price on that experience that I got reffing because I got to be out there and ref matches with guys like Bull Payne and Tracy Smothers, some old-timers and stuff, and watching and learning from those guys out there. I mean, I just can't put a price on the experience of reffing. You know, so, I mean, that might be an option, too. Like, if you're not quite ready to have a match, ask to referee on some shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, yeah, I mean...
And I'll tell you what, Doc, I'll say that I have been tagged that I hold my guys out too long before I start them, but I would rather err on the side of waiting too long than not waiting long enough, and because I've seen some guys out there that, you know, got out too early and then stopped learning. And,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Refereeing is a thankless job, but yeah, it gets you some experience in there.
Oh yeah, like I said, I can't put a price tag on the experience that I got, you know, over the 6 or 8 months or whatever it was that I did ref. So it's just an awesome experience, and I think it really helped me out. By the time I did start working matches, I think it really helped.
Well, they're comfortable in front of the crowd that way too, Doc. They get a chance to work in front of the crowd, but they're not the center of attention. But
right.
Yet they can find a comfort zone while they're out there.
Oh yeah, yeah, that definitely helped with that too. You know, getting comfortable being out there in front of, you know, a live crowd and people. So,
Hungarian Hitman says, "How's Math?
How's who?
How's Math?
Oh, Danny Moff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's been a couple months." Since I've talked to him, but, you know, he's pursuing some other options outside the business and stuff like that, and he seems to be happy and doing good, gets to spend more time, like, with his family and his daughter and stuff, and I know he's, you know, happy about that.
Shockage says, who named you BJ?
It's just short for Benjamin, because my dad is Ben or Benny, so it just kind of saves on the confusion.
So it's not Benjamin Jr., it's just Benjamin?
Yeah, Benjamin, yeah.
Okay, cool. You got... embroiled right now in a bitter feud with CZW. How did that come about?
The whole feud, you know, it was kind of happened by accident. It was just going to have the one match, you know, Chris Hero versus Brian Danielson for the ROH World title. And we got, you know, we drew such a good house that night in Philadelphia, and there was so much heat with it that it was decided to go on ahead and, you know, pursue the angle, basically, and it's just been red hot ever since, you know, and like Les said, you know, it's had so many little twists and turns that it's keeping, you know, people very interested in it.
Yeah, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
How is Chris doing? I haven't talked to him in a while.
I believe Chris is getting ready to head to Mexico, I believe, for several weeks.
Oh.
So I'm not sure who he's working for down there, but I believe he is headed down there for several weeks.
Cool.
It seems like they've started to use more American workers down there of
yeah.
normal size.
Yeah, it seems like I'm hearing more and more guys getting booked down there, so it seems like they're going back to, you know, using some American workers again.
Yeah, I just read, whose show it was, but Johnny the Bull, Johnny Stamboli, has been working down there too.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I haven't seen Johnny, I guess, since those guys left, you know, the Cincinnati developmental area, you know, the HWA and stuff. So
yeah,
some of the guys I've run into, you know, cross paths with, but Johnny's one I haven't seen in a long time.
He bought a house in Phoenix.
Oh, in Arizona?
Yeah.
Or
Scottsdale, or anyway, the Phoenix area. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so he's not based out of Atlanta anymore then?
No. He moved out there before he left WWE, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he still doing the Japan stuff, the All Japan?
As far as I know, yes.
Yeah, they seem to be booking, you know, more like the ex-WWE guys, or a lot of the other companies in Japan are booking, like, some more indie guys.
Yeah.
Where they, it seems like all Japan's going for, like, the ex-WWE guys.
Green Clover says, do you prefer to have Jimmy Jacobs as a partner or to compete against him now?
Me and Jimmy have, you know, such great chemistry as a tag team, but we also have great chemistry competing against each other. So, I mean, that's a close call, but I really like my singles matches, you know, whether it be the ones we've had, like, in IWA Mid-South or other indies, and, of course, the one we had in Detroit was awesome, you know. So that's a close call, but I do like having, you know, matches against him.
Mm-hmm. WayOfTheMaster.com says, BJ is the Bobby Lashley of Ring of Honor. Good stuff, no gimmick.
Good stuff, no gimmick. well, we're working on that, you know. We're trying to get a character to come out, you know. So hopefully I won't be the Bobby Lashley for long. So.
Hey, sometimes you don't need a gimmick, my friend.
Yeah, sometimes you don't. You know, a good solid storyline, you know, helps,
mm-hmm.
you know, tremendously, you know. So we'll see, I guess.
Heel says, past or present, who would your dream match be with?
Past or present? Wow. I mean, I definitely, because, like, I'm a huge fan of his stuff. On, you know, near the top of the list is definitely, like, Chris Benoit, without a doubt. Trying to think. Yeah, he'd probably be right there at the top of the list. He'd probably be Benoit.
That's liable to happen. You never know.
What's that?
I said that might happen. You never know.
Yeah. You know, like, my career's not over yet. Neither is his. So hopefully, you know, it could be a possibility at some point.
I know you've been down when TNA was in Nashville. You were down a couple times. Have you touched base with them lately, or is that even? Are you interested?
No. Yeah. Well, I'm interested anywhere that I can make a living doing this. You know, and start. You know, because this is all I'm doing for a living right now. But you know, I'm not saving any money. You know, I'm making ends meet. You know, I'm covering my bills. You know, I've got a little spending money, but you know, anywhere where I can make a living and actually, you know, start putting some money away, you know, I'm open, you know, open to talk to anybody.
Sure.
They're having an argument in the chat room right now over what NOAH stands for.
What, like, from Pro Wrestling NOAH?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't actually know. I think it has something to do with, like, NOAH's Ark, actually, because of how, like, Misawa left and then, like, all the guys but two left with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, like you gathered everyone up and took them off on their own, I think is the way it's kind of been explained to me, but I can't promise you 100% that that's the story behind
it. Yeah, that's what Mitchell in the chat room is saying. They used it as a metaphor for a load of New Japan wrestlers jumping ship.
Yeah, it was all Japan guys.
Story too.
It was all Japan guys. It wasn't New Japan.
All Japan, okay.
Yeah.
Question for BJ. Do you prefer to work face or heel? You're great as both either way, though.
Right now, I'm having a lot of fun doing this this face run with this whole CZW thing. Because I worked the heel, you know, for so long as a singles, like whether it be at IWA, Mid-South, or usually anywhere I was at, most of the time they had me as a heel. So I'm having a blast, though, doing this baby face run finally.
Good. What do you see coming up for you in the next few years?
Hopefully a full-time job with one of the companies, you know, making a living at this, and then my body holding up.
You know, let me throw something in here, and unless you've done it, you can't know, Doc. It is, for these guys that are making a living, whether that's a little or a lot, on the indie scene, it is a grind because they, you know, they have to keep getting out there and touching base with promoters and networking and pushing all the time. And believe me, politics be damned, if you get a chance to get a steady paycheck, know it's going to be in the mailbox every Tuesday. You can put up a little bit of that other stuff just to get the, just to know it takes some of that pressure off because these guys are under pressure, a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a guaranteed contract. I mean, with being an independent wrestler, you don't have the guaranteed money coming in. So if you're hurt, you still have to tape up your knee or tape up your ankle and get out there and perform on the shows you're booked on because when you don't have a guaranteed contract and you're making ends meet, you know, if you don't work that week, you might not eat that week, you know.
Mm, right.
What do you think one of the main differences between Japanese fans and American fans are? Like, I know one thing is that Japanese fans like their merchandise written with American writing in English.
Yeah, a lot of the T-shirts and stuff over there had, the American writing and stuff on them was written in English. As far as, the difference in the fans, the Japanese fans are a little more respectful, I guess you could say, and they still view it as, a sport or a competition kind of thing. I guess they somewhat view it that way, some of the American crowds you go to, they're about getting themselves over sometimes, and start these, ridiculous chants and stuff like that.
Right.
So, and then you won't find that in Japan.
Do they still think it's an honor to get, hit by the heel?
They kind of get involved like that, and you have, a big monster heel, running through go through the crowd, like Brody and those guys used to do. Yeah, they still get off on that.
that's always gotten me.
Yeah.
Heel says, what's your opinion on today's product in WWE and TNA?
I honestly don't watch it enough to give an opinion, I guess I could say, because usually what I do is I catch, bits and pieces here and there as I'm flipping through the channels, doing whatever I'm doing at home. On the night it's on, most of the results and stuff, I'll just read those online, just to see, what's going on, and reading reviews of the shows and stuff like that. Because, I'm friends with Jamie Noble and stuff, and I like to, keep up with him and see how things are going for him and how they're using him and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, he's intense. The first time I met him was when all three of us, me, you, and Jamie Noble were backstage at IWA.
Yeah, he's an intense little guy, man.
And he was just psyching himself up, and he's like, who am I wrestling? And a few guys raised their hand. It was Battle Royal. And he's like, it's on, real loud, and everyone just got real quiet. And I was just like,
he was that way when he trained, Doc.
He was
like the Energizer Bunny.
He loves to psych himself up. It was great.
He's intense.
Worked some matches with him in HWA, he can tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. He's intense out there, and he really, you know, what he's great at, it's kind of like what Chris Benoit is great at, is bringing out the best in whoever he's in the ring with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just awesome to be out there in the ring with.
Did you see his new gimmick?
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I did read about it, though.
What is it?
He had told me something about it. Him and, is it Kid Cash?
Yes.
Yeah. Are doing some kind of, like, demon dogs or devil dogs or, like,
pit
bull type gimmick.
The spike dog collars or something.
Yes.
Yeah, which he had, I'd spoken to him on the phone, you know, a couple weeks back, and he had mentioned that they were heading that direction with him, and then they finally debuted it, I guess, was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, but, you know, I didn't get a chance to catch it on Friday.
They were running around on all fours barking, then it was just, I could see him completely being comfortable with that, though.
Yeah, I could too, you know. He's pretty much down for anything, you know, so.
Another question from the chat room, they want to know if you watch the ROH DVDs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's how, you know, I like to watch and see what I do and see the other matches, because a lot of times, you know, being in the back, you're doing this and doing that, you don't have a chance to catch all the matches. So I like to, you know, get caught up when the DVDs come out and stuff like that. So, and then that's a way for anybody that's, you know, wanting to get into the business, that's the way you learn, is by watching your stuff and being, like, overly critical of yourself, you know, and cutting your match to pieces and, you know, and splitting hairs, basically,
mm-hmm.
on stuff. But yeah, absolutely keep up with the DVD.
Have you had a chance to work with Davey Richards yet, the guy that's getting ready, the one that's Super 8 this year?
No, I haven't. I've heard a lot of really good things about him, and, you know, here he's really good. I'm sure he'll definitely be an asset, you know, to the roster.
Yeah, I worked with him this past week for 3 days down in Charlotte, High Spots Gym.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought maybe, I know he'd mentioned Nigel and mentioned Stryker, that, you know, of our guys that he'd worked with. I thought maybe you might have worked with. Yeah, he's, for the short time he's been in the business, he's got his head into it. I'll tell you what I like, he's trained some mixed martial arts stuff too, but he's incorporating some of that in his ground stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people are doing that now, or seem to be heading that direction, you know, kind of, you know, cross-training a little bit, picking up some of the MMA grappling type stuff.
You and Kai were training up there where Rich Franklin trains, right?
Yeah, I was there for a while, and then gas shot up to $3 a gallon, and then I'm over an hour from Middletown, Ohio, so, I mean, it's just, you know, it got to where, you know, I couldn't afford it anymore, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. It counts a lot as far as you have to travel. And
what's
gas,
that?
It counts a lot for as far as you have to travel. Gas money does come into play, especially in the indies.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
BJ, don't you think that part is now, too, where a lot of people, where UFC and that sort of thing is being more mainstream, is that in terms of trying to suspend your audience's disbelief, if you incorporate some of that, they identify with it and realize, I think, maybe they are going a little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, because especially with, you know, the following that UFC starting to get, you know, with them being on Spike, you know, and Spike really pushing, you know, that product, it is becoming, you know, very mainstream. So, you know, I feel like professional wrestling maybe progressing, you know, a little bit that way and incorporating a little of that style into what we do.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way of the future, too. I think, across, like you say, cross-train and combine the two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, BJ, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program.
Okay, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Very good interview.
My best to your mom and dad, and good luck, my friend. I hope to see you soon.
Thank you. It was good talking to you, Les.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye, BJ.
Okay. Take care.
BJ Widmer from Ring of Honor here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We got a lot more to come. Jimmy Hart is still going to be on the show. We've got we're going to go over the pay-per-view from Sunday.
Are we lucky?
Judgment Day. And we're going to find out. Irish Pete and myself played the prediction game last
week.
So we're going to find out who won with that. Also, we've got Irish Pete Doyle coming up for a hot topic just after this break. But before we do go to break, I do want to mention that today is May 23rd. This is the seventh year anniversary of the tragic death of Owen Hart at the Over the Edge pay-per-view, which happened in Kansas City. We do remember there were a lot of things, you know, a lot of little stories, a lot of tributes to Owen that have been going out today around the internet. And I just wanted to have basically, if you'll join us in a moment of silence for Owen before we continue the show. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly on the Wrestling Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio? Well, if one or all of these are true, visit FanTalkLive.com today. That's www.FanTalkLive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@aol.com. That's fantalklive@aol.com.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Here's the latest news and information on Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hi, my name's Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Right now we are going to cover the Judgment Day pay-per-view. We're going to get to Hot Topic in just a little bit with Irish Pete Doyle. But Judgment Day, overall, Les, how was it for you?
My Judgment Day or the pay-per-view?
The pay-per-view.
It was good for me, Doc. How was it? I think everybody went in with low expectations on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was given a copy to look at, and they stepped up. They did all right, I think. Although I'm not sure how the numbers are going to turn out, but, you know, I'll tell you the truth. The one match on there, Benoit and Finlay, is where any young aspiring young wrestler should be watching that over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the psychology of it, the whole deal.
Excellent match, and I was surprised they put it on so early.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, and then of course the breaking up of Eminem, which, again, I'm sorry to see that because I think that was a. Them as a team was a very good,
Yeah, now they're down to, what, two tag teams?
You know what, I guess London and Spanky and who else?
That's a good question. The champs, I guess.
They are the champs.
London and Spanky and,
the Spirit Squad.
The Spirit Squad.
They'll have to have their own... Inner company tag team because there aren't any left. I don't see that. Anyway, well, I won't get on my soapbox about that thing. But yes, I hate to see them break up. Go ahead, run. But what did you think of the show?
It was a good show. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I went into the show on barely any sleep, thinking, you know, just get these 3 hours over with. This is going to be a disaster. And it was pretty entertaining in it. It surpassed the expectations that I had of it.
But it wasn't, you know, by far a great pay-per-view.
Yeah.
In the one of the first matches, Jillian actually beat Melina, which was surprising. Of course, that was one of the things that led to the breakup. Myself and Pete last week had both picked Melina, so there was no points there. As you discussed earlier, Benoit versus Finlay was a very good match. And as you said, one that should be a model for for how you're supposed to wrestle.
Really?
Benoit went and took that match. I had went with Finlay on that one. I don't know why. I decided to go against Pete. But Pete went with Benoit, the favorite, of course. And
you see, Pete's an Irishman, and if he went against the Irishman, you knew he had to have some strong opinion on it.
Absolutely, him. Yeah. But, you know, I decided to play with fate, and it didn't work out for me. So that was a point for Pete. We had both picked Gregory Helms to beat Super Crazy and retain the Cruiserweight Championship. That did happen. We both got a point on that. Here's a surprise, though. Mark Henry versus Kurt Angle. Pete and I both went with the upset. We said that Mark Henry was going to go ahead and take it, and he did. So we just
got... Okay, so you thought, well, if Angle's taking some more time off, then it's, you know, if it's going to help him heal, there's the deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, that's the whole nine yards. And obviously what little time he's had off isn't what they... We're going to, you know, I think they have more in mind, and maybe that's probably the reason. That's probably why they're going in that direction.
Yeah, and it also, you know, brings up Mark Henry, you know, one step closer to that monster status they want him to be at, because I assume they're looking at an angle with Batista when he comes back.
With who?
With Batista and Mark Henry.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's...
That's the rumored plan.
Those guys are familiar with each other from OVW, too.
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope that Mark don't hurt him. The Undertaker versus the Great Khali. Big, big surprise of the night.
Yeah.
I had called it, though. I went with Khali.
Did you?
Yes, just to go against Pete. He went with the Undertaker.
You are indeed a connoisseur of sports entertainment.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But Khali, what'd you think of that match? He just crushed him.
Yes, he did. Well,
it was a squash.
Know, I would think that. I don't know. Because I don't see a lot of value in the guy, quite frankly.
Right.
But that's the way he's got to win. Because if he tries to actually work or wrestle any length of time, they'll expose that he can't.
Right.
You know. So.
So I figured that they were going to put him on the back burner after this. I thought they were just building him up to be this monster, you know, to take on The Undertaker, another guy for The Undertaker to climb over. But, no, it looks like they're investing something into Khali.
I heard, too, the big Russian that Jerry Jarrett brought up to them,
mm-hmm.
And they signed, got a tryout, and it was pretty horrendous.
Really?
Which I can't believe otherwise, anyway. I mean, it's just, they say he's big, he's got a good... bone structure. He's not hard. He's soft in terms of his body, that his in ring is just not even in the ballpark yet.
Well, they should put him against Khali then.
Yeah, then that would stink the joint out.
Yeah.
And when I say that, you know what? It's not like this guy is the first guy that any wrestling promoter's ever tried to get over that didn't have any talent.
All right.
You know, but. I don't know, you know, that was workable then if you kept the guy at a minimum, you put him in tag matches, disguise him, well, like a Proud Boy Fraser or Uncle Elmer, or whatever you want to call him, the big guy. I was his partner for a while. He came in for the comebacks, Tex McKenzie. There's been a history of guys like that, but it's just, wow.
Supposedly the way to... accentuate Khali is to have him in squash matches and not have him in a competitive match.
Yeah, but then you know then he is totally an attraction. Where you take him from there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it's he is a no talent guy. I'm sorry, but that's the bottom line. And Stone Cold didn't even say so.
I'm surprised, and I said this during the show on Sunday that WWE hasn't tried to take advantage of the fact that Khali basically killed somebody in the ring.
Well, the parents of that somebody may not be too excited with that.
Exactly.
But I don't know now if that, I think there's an appeal on that court case, you know, on the first ruling, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
that there's an appeal in that too. So maybe that, and that might be part of it, that they might be treading where they shouldn't.
Yeah, we'll have to get Alexander on the show soon and talk about this if he wants to talk about it. We'll see. Probably can't if it's pending.
Well, I would say if it's an appeal, you know, then they're not allowed to talk about it.
But when this is all over and done with, I'd really like to hear his opinion on what's going on with this.
Well, you know what? From what little I know, it obviously wasn't on purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the error in judgment was to allow the kid to come back and continue to take bumps.
Right. But when Benoit accidentally broke Sabu's neck, he became the Crippler.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh yeah. Well, but see, I don't know. It's.
I'm just saying. I'm surprised they haven't taken advantage.
The kid was lacking experience, as was Kelly, who's still lacking experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that's a situation that should have been monitored a little closer.
Absolutely.
And again, but I knowing the people out there, I can't believe it. It's, you know, they dropped their guard, and that's what happened.
London and Kendrick went against M&M. They are the new tag team champions. Pete had went with London and Kendrick. I had went with M&M.
Yeah, so, well, seeing, having no idea they're going to break. That's the direction I would have gone to.
Mm-hmm. In the King of the Ring final, it was Booker T versus Bobby Lashley. And Pete went with Lashley. I went with my man, King Booker. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And that evens us up again.
Book and Charmel, I mean, it's a natural fit anyway to King and Queen, right?
Absolutely. They were doing that anyway.
and if we're doing entertainment, they're entertaining. You know, she and Melina, or maybe, I don't know if that's the reason they're splitting up, because they're both on the same show. But honestly, the two best corner women I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. But yeah, I see Book get more mileage out of that than Lashley. Lashley doesn't have a personality. And there's, again, somebody that's got to be protected to it. And when I say protected, I'm sure he'd take very good care of himself. But I mean, in points of how much you allow him to do, he's improved since he's been there, you know, since we've seen him up. But he's got a long way to go. So, you know, they got to be careful with it.
Yeah, absolutely. In the, of course, the World Heavyweight Championship match, Rey Mysterio versus JBL. Pete went with JBL, and I went with Rey on this one.
I would have gone Pete's direction, too.
I probably, if I had thought about it more, instead of just trying not to be like Pete, I probably would have said JBL, too. But, I don't know, I just kind of felt it. I went with my gut on this one.
I guess. I wonder where they're going with the Chavo thing.
I don't know. We were just waiting, and we were waiting, and we just kept saying, wait for it, wait for it.
We're waiting for that heel turn. I don't know if there's any credence to this or not, but apparently Vicky Guerrero was asked to look at some scripts, which would involve her in Chavo's storyline.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. It's just...
Get over it, please. That's how I feel.
And listen, let me say this. If, you know, I think if this puts food on the table for those children, you know, if in some way, shape, or form there's a serious compensation, then, you know, okay, if you know, that's I'm up with that, because you know they're selling the house they just moved into,
right?
Which is, you know, and I understand downsizing when you have to, but it's a shame that has to happen. So, you know, again, if this is the company's way of saying, okay, well, we need to rationalize this by putting you on the payroll, then I'm up, you know, as long as it's not too crazy.
I'd like to hear Vicky's story, you know, one of these times. Maybe she'll write a book on it or something. I'd love to know what she's just feeling right now with the way that, in my opinion, they're exploiting this. But I like to hear how she feels about it.
I'm not comfortable with it. Now, I read where Chris Benoit was interviewed, and he wasn't uncomfortable with it. Now, whether when I say this, whether that was the corporate stance or whether that was for real or, in fact, his opinion,
right.
I'm not sure. Haven't talked to him in a while. But I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with it.
But I think Ray getting the win was a good thing for Ray in the long run. Because He's been getting really beat up lately. You know, I mean, Khali squashed him. You know, he's been getting pounded back and forth as the champion, and it was making him look like a joke of a champion. Now he has this win over JBL in a clean match, with a clean finish, you know, where he took on and defeated a former heavyweight champion.
Okay.
That is, in my opinion, an elevation.
Yeah, but I think Ray needs to be at near the top of the card with these people, but I don't have him as my heavyweight champion.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work for me. When I see them standing side by side, it doesn't work for me. Not long haul, like I say, I dig the whole David Goliath concept. I understand it, but it's not something you can do over the long haul because it's like Muggsy Bowles playing all the top centers in the NBA, one right after the other. Is he going to beat it? You know, is he going to beat some? Sure. But he's going to lose some, too, you know. And again, you know, okay, you say, well, they showed that part when he got squashed by Henry and Khali and who else? Kane, I guess.
Yes.
Somebody. But, you know, well, okay, but you proved what? That on any given day, I just, you know, I don't know. I don't see the logic in it. I just, you know. And Ray's a great performer, and... You know, that's something, too. You know, he needs to be kept near the top, especially now with the roster being so shallow and SmackDown. It's going to be, you know, they need the hot babyface.
Right. There are rumors that he is going to be taking a break. So I don't know if they're going to keep the title on him when he does.
Well, I don't know either. If he's got knee problems again, which I heard, you know, he didn't say this, but I've heard that he's bothering him again. He's had already 4 or 5 surgeries, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if he needs time, and Ray's almost 30 years old, which is not like the end of the world, but
I believe he's 31 actually.
In athletic years, that's
mm-hmm. that's kind
of getting
up there.
That body's been taking a bit pounding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he probably needs a rest.
Yeah, he beat up his body in his 20s.
You know what? The more and more if they're going to wrestle this particular, you know, that high impact style. And a lot of people say, well, WWE doesn't have them. Yeah, but it's taking its toll. And it's going to take its toll. And to me, a company should work out some revolving thing where a guy has to take so many weeks every so often,
mm-hmm.
you know, just for the mental break of the, you know, the anguish, get away from the anguish and the politics and the pressure. But, you know, so the body gets a chance to repair, too.
Yeah. Also, speaking of sore knees, Shawn Michaels. In line for some surgery, or at least he's going to undergo an MRI.
Yeah, he's supposed to have an MRI this week, and then I guess there's a possibility that if they scope it, he'll be out a couple weeks, but he can get back. I'm curious to see how the DX thing goes. It'll be hot for a while because it's new, or fresh again, I shouldn't say new.
Right.
You know, but then, you know what? A lot of people are worried that this ECW thing is not going to have a long-term upside.
Right. The word is that when they make the announcement that ECW is going to debut on the Sci-Fi Network, they're getting, I believe it's at 12 weeks. And
what?
Then they'll see after that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It'll, you know, first you got to find the channel.
Right.
Second. But, I don't know. I'm really curious to see.
As a guy who loved ECW in 1994, 1995, I don't care if they air it on the Lifetime Network. I don't care if they air it on QVC. I don't care if they air it on Logo. I'm going to watch it if
okay.
I have the channel.
See, I tell you what, I like Paul's promo. I mean, Paul's a good promo man, too. And he and Mick went back and forth well, but I snickered to myself when he said the you know something about the integrity of hardcore. Excuse me.
He prostituted hardcore.
It is prostitution at its highest level, Paul.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, we've got our featured guest coming on the line, Mr. Mouth of the South himself, Jimmy Hart, is going to be with us on Wrestling Weekly. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on the Wrestling Radio Network.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This my friend is ECW.
Hi, my name's Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest, Mr. Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Jimmy, I know you're at a personal appearance right now, and so it probably might be a little bit hard to hear, but we'll bear with it.
Well, thank you. You know, down in Memphis, Tennessee, you know, Corey Macklin, Jerry the King Lawler, we're having another Legends show. It's going to be coming up next month. I just flew in from Florida today. And he's got me over here at this Redbirds ball game. We've been signing autographs and talking about the big show. And, man, there's race cars over here. Jeff Gordon's one of his race cars over here. We got Toby Keith's car. And, oh, my gosh, everything's going on. But good talking to you guys.
Excellent. I appreciate you making time during your personal appearance to do this with us.
The Legends shows in Memphis have been drawing pretty well, haven't they, Jim?
Well, it seems like the past is still the future no matter where you go. You know, it's just... I guess people really love what all we did back in the late 70s and 80s, whether it was in New York or whether it was in Memphis, and you know, or whether it was a group that was up in the Carolinas or whether it was a group on that. People say, you got a picture? Okay, take it, honey. Here you go. All right. thank you, darling. Thank y'all, guys. Thank y'all. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Don't
want to
disappoint the fans here.
Right.
But, and so, you know, they seem to be doing well. You know, I'm very pleased, too. Brand new WWE Legends of the Managers just came out. It's coming out. Well, I just got an advanced copy. It's going to be in June. And of course, myself's on it, thank God, and along with Miss Elizabeth. And, of course, we've got Fred Blassie on there, just to mention a few. But it's about seven or eight of the managers back from the 80s. So that's going to be coming out in June. And got a new Jax toy figure. You know, this past year we had out the individual action figures on ourselves. But we had the Hart Foundation three-pack. And, of course, the Mega Maniacs, me, Hulk, and Brutus is coming out. So, like I said, the past is still keeping alive out there.
Absolutely, a lot of nostalgic memorabilia coming out, including figures from Jimmy Hart, of course. Jimmy, I wanted to ask you. You were in. You did some voiceovers for the SmackDown vs. Raw 2006 game. Are you going to be in 2007?
Well, you know what? I don't really know. I was just lucky enough to be in that and kind of lead the legends through there. And who knows if they'll have the legends on there again? But I was very honored to be on that one. It was a lot of fun and. You will not believe, you know, I do a lot of autograph stuff for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling over at Universal. You know, we have a Memorial Day weekend, which is next Monday. We have a show. If anybody is over in Orlando, we'd like to invite you out. You know, Sting's with them now. You got the Dudley Boys Christians there. Kevin Nash just came back with them. And it's a great show, but it's all absolutely free if you're in Orlando. We'd love to have you out there. But the reason I was leading to is I do a lot of the autographs and talk about the people and what a great show it is on the days of the shows, and we get people in the building, of course. And while I'm out there, you'll be surprised how many of the younger kids that come up and do autographs that say, oh, I played you. You were my favorite character in the 2006 SmackDown versus Raw. And I said, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Can't wait to
you
see
know,
that.
When Doc told me, reminded me today, earlier today, that you were going to be on tonight, I got to thinking, you're kind of like the country of Switzerland, sort of a neutral country in our business, because you got projects going with TNA, you got projects with WWE. You obviously never make anybody mad, Jimmy.
Well, you know what? I've tried to give everything I've ever had in my life to this business because I love it so much. I was very honored to be to get into the wrestling profession. I was in music, of course. We had a one-hit wonder in the Gentry, a million-seller called Keep on Dancing, but I guess it's better to have one than none.
Absolutely.
And then I was lucky to start back in the day with Jerry Lawler. That's where I got my first start. I was in Memphis, of course, for 5 years. I used to take Jeff Jarrett. Jerry used to fly him in during the summer to Larry Finch's basketball camps at Memphis State. And I used to pick him up at the airport and take him to the basketball camps. And so when they were doing their show in Nashville years ago, they had called me about maybe trying to get into Universal because I knew Pam Warren up there when I was doing WCW, the Saturday night show was up there. I became good friends with them, so we made the connection and got him in up there. And Jeff said, would you do the promotion for us? And I said, God, I'd love to. And so I have fun doing that and then doing the legend stuff for the WWE and then coming down to Memphis, of course, for our shows that we have every now and then down here with Memphis Wrestling. You know, we're on the UPN station down here. And do a few shows on Hogan Knows Best, but I'm living the dream.
Yeah, you were just over at Hogan's house the other day, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I was down doing some editing for the World Wrestling Legends show that we had about 2 months ago, Sal Carenzi did. I was part of that up at the Hard Rock Cafe. By the way, it's on pay-per-view now, but for the next couple of months. But
yeah.
When I was down there doing some editing on it, I went over to Hulk's new home. He had called me, and oh, my gosh, it is unbelievable. When you walk in, one whole side is for the for Nick. He's got his own apartment. On the right side of the place, it's for Brooke. She's got her apartment. And then there's a big open-air part of it where you get on these big giant slabs, a brick, and you walk across a little water park to the main house. It's got two waterfalls in it. It's like a giant. Did you ever see the show Scarface?
Yes.
And with Al Pacino, I think that was the name of it.
Right.
It looks like that house. It's phenomenal. It's so unbelievable.
I want to be a Hogan kid.
I do too. Oh my God! But it's just great. But the kids have worked hard, and it looks. You know, Brooks got a brand new record deal now, and they're going to be on MTV, VH1. Hope was showing me the list of stuff. I might go on the road and help them a little bit too. So, you know, everything's great in the Hogan household.
Yeah, I saw the back of your head on the one where Nick learned to wrestle.
Well, I was down there for that. You know, what happens, you come out and you do about 5 or 6 hours of editing, but they have to chop it down to like 26 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, a lot of stuff winds up on the floor. But, you know, I've been in several this year. The one where Brooke goes to the restaurant and he has her working, so I did that one. And a couple of others down in South Beach. But it's just hard to do them because working with the stuff with TNA and then doing the WWE stuff too and the other little side projects, when they call sometimes, I'm not able to be there for them.
Right. I want to get to some questions from the chat room because they're just going and going and going. But Rhode Island Red says, can you tell us how Mr. Fuji, Freddie Blassie, and Lou Albano first treated you when you were hired by Vince? And what was your relationship like with those managers as well as with Bobby Heenan?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, I was just flattered to be called to go to New York because the only way I got to see anybody from New York, of course, was buying the wrestling magazines because, you know, Vince's show wasn't in Memphis back then. And so, you know, I read about Mr. Fuji and read about Fred Blassie and read about Lou and all of them were former wrestlers. And, of course, Bobby the Brain, I had a little bit more contact with him because he came into Memphis one time when he was managing Nick Bockwinkel, of course, back in the heyday with Lawler and Andy Kaufman and all of us. And I was always a big fan of those guys. So when I got to go up there, it was great. I know the story you're referring to is what happened one time is, in Memphis, you know, I'd go out 3 or 4 times a night. You know, we'd take all the bumps and do what we had to do to make a living back then. So when I went to New York, I was not used to the managers going to the ring, taking the jackets from their guys, whispering whatever in their ear, and then leaving and going home.
Mm-hmm.
So I started staying at ringside. George Scott was the booker back then with Vince, and George said, well, Jimmy likes doing this, and Vince says, hey, I like that because nobody's done it before. Well, you really stay out there. So at one time, Bobby didn't do it, but it was Captain Lou, it was Fred, and Mr. Fuji. They go, what are you doing staying at ringside? You know, you we get paid our money just for going and getting the jackets and we can leave. And I said, yeah, you're you and I'm me, and if I was you, then I wouldn't be me. So
right.
I got to stay, and in return, Vince originally made everybody start staying. So they were mad at me a little bit, but we were just all great friends, and I love those guys to death.
So you're a pioneer of sorts. In the managing.
Well, I don't know about that. I've been very blessed to be able to do music and have some songs that, like Shawn Michaels. You still hear that every Monday night when he goes to the ring. And
yes.
And I've just, you know, sometimes, like Hulk said, it's better to be lucky than to be good. Hopefully, I've been lucky and a little bit of good. So.
Do you have any time to just play for yourself anymore, guitar, music? Because you seem to be really busy and on the run all the time. Do you have any time for yourself to just sit down and play guitar for yourself?
Well, you know what? I really enjoy doing. We did all the theme songs for the WWL that Sal Corrente did up there. We did that, and Sal had a show that's kind of in the can right now that Clear Channel had cut. So we did a lot of music for that. So, I have fun doing it. But with the wrestling like it is now, and doing all the other little promotions and stuff, I really don't have time to really go back in and do anything. But you know, it's been a great life, man. I mean, it's just fabulous.
Here's a question from the chat room. It said, I read it was Hillbilly Jim who got Vince McMahon to hire you. Is that true? And how?
Well, it really is. What happened on it was Vince and them were looking to take different people out of different areas for this show he had called WrestleMania that he was putting together. So Hillbilly Jim had sent some tapes to Howard Finkel. Howard Finkel had been watching our Memphis tapes. George Scott and Vince saw him and said, you know what? We're looking for a new manager to go with what we have. And so they saw the tapes of what I was doing, so they wanted to bring me up in New York. I was on the road at the time healing a room with Flyboy Frazier and Eddie Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
Back then we shared 3-2 a room. Les, you know a lot about that, I'm sure.
Yes, I sure.
Anything to save money back then. So it was one of the rare occasions we didn't have 4 or 5 to a room. But we were up in Nashville, Tennessee at the Days Inn during the middle of the week because once a month we'd run on a Wednesday night over at the fairgrounds. So I called back home and I said, any phone calls? And they said, yeah, Vince McMahon called you from New York. And I laughed. I went, you got to be kidding me. I thought it was Austin Idol calling me wanting to ride that Saturday to TV, you know, when he flew in.
Right.
I never called the number back. About a week later, same thing. I think I was sharing a room with Jimmy Valiant and Coco Beware. We were healing a room up in Louisville, Kentucky then. Called back home, and George Scott had called. Well, about another week after that, I was back in Memphis, and it was snowing. Hillbilly Jim called me, and I told Hillbilly what happened. He goes, well, Jimmy, I can't believe you didn't call them back because they had been looking at those tapes. So Hillbilly made the phone call. He called back and said, you better sit down because Vince McMahon is fixing to call you. They want you up there. Talked to Vince on the phone. He called me. The next day, I was on an airplane flying to New York, went to New York, signed the deal with him. I told him, I said, but, you know, this next weekend, sir, I said, Jerry Lawler's in Japan. Jerry Jarrett's out hunting and fishing. And I said, I need to run TV. They'd asked me to run TV. So he said, I like that about you. He said, somebody being very loyal to the company, even though I was leaving. And so I went and did the TV for the guys, and the rest was history. Then I got on a plane and a week later, and I was back in New York about 2 months before the first WrestleMania, and I was there for WrestleMania 1 through 9.
Yeah, that was great. Bev James wants to know what your best memory of managing Bret Hart is.
Oh, my gosh. Probably the funniest thing is when Bret Hart and Neidhart and myself were against the Rougeau brothers before I managed them, and we were in White Plains, New York, and the little referee there had a toupee on. And before everybody went to the ring, he goes, whatever you do, do not pull my toupee off. If anybody pulls my toupee, you will be suspended. Well, of course, that was the green light. So during the match, Anvil pulled the guy's toupee off. So but we like to fell out of the ring. I mean, everybody laughed, and we had to stop the matches. It was a match at the end of the night anyhow. And we went back upstairs. They tried to suspend us and find us. But, you know, anytime being out with Brad and Anvil was just so wonderful because both of them were so different and so good.
Oh, here's a good question from Heel 2006. He says, in your opinion, who is the biggest name in wrestling history to date, Hogan, Austin, or Ric Flair?
Well, every one of them in a different type way. I think Hulk, of course, by coming along at a certain time with the Rocky movie and doing the other movies he's done, and it's hard to compare any of them. Ric Flair, my biggest thrill I ever had with Ric Flair is Bobby got his neck hurt one time, and Vince asked me would I go on the road to manage Ric Flair against Hulk. So we did about a 7-day tour with that, and I was managing Ric against Hulk at the time up in New York. Can you imagine the thrill it was for me standing in the ring with two of the biggest names ever? It was unreal. Mm-hmm. But and of course Austin came along at a great time because it was like, you know, up your nose with a rubber hose type deal. You know, the guy who defied the boss, the guy who drank the beer, the guy who gave everybody the finger, and he really fit that image so well. So it's really hard to compare all of those guys with each other because everybody is so different in a certain way.
Right. Dingle says, do you have any memories of touring Australia in the late 80s, once with the Funk and once with the Heart Foundation?
Well, also with the Moondogs. A lot of people don't realize I did a commercial for Toyota with the Moondogs that was nationwide. But I was over there with the Funks and the Moondogs. But Australia was pretty cool back then. I mean, the fans were just great, and we had so much fun back then.
Victoria Lee, our own publicist and senior news editor, she says, who's your favorite wrestling manager on TV today? And that would include both WWE and TNA.
Wow, you know what? I'm not trying to ride the fence on this, but once again, everybody is so different. Mm-hmm. You know, when I watch TV now, of course, there's not a lot of managers out there anymore. I like Scott DeBoer very much because I knew Scott before he really got into TNA, and for him to kind of work his way up to work in the office for them and book, to go to the ring every night, take a few bumps, and he is very, very good in the ring. I told him at one time, you ought to not manage and just wrestle permanently because I think he reminds me of a crybaby cannon. I always tell him, I said, if you just get more colorful, wear the jumpsuit, wear the helmet to do the screw job on everybody, it would be tremendous. But I like Scott DeBoer very much. He is very good. But some of the girl managers, you know, that you see, I tell you, I like Gail Kim very much. I know she does a managing job up there, but to me, I'd make her a baby face because if you look at the Asian market now, when you turn TV on in the morning, you see that Ann Curry, she's Asian. Then if you watch Mari Povich, you know, the lady on the show with him, Asian. The Weather Channel is Asian. If you, Michelle Wee, Asian, the golfer. I mean, it's just all out there. And then if you happen to go to a movie and see Lucy Liu. So I think she could do a great job for TNA if she was a babyface, especially with the exposure she had coming over from WWE with all the Asian stuff being so hot right now.
Right. Professor VNS says, what did you think of the wrestler Outback Jack, and why didn't he go further than he did?
Well, I think what happened, I think the Bulldogs drove him crazy. I mean, every time Outback Jack would do anything, I mean, his hat would be up in the rafters, his boomerang would be broken in half. And you know what, I think sometimes some people fit the right character and sometimes people don't, you know. And I think that might have been a time that I think he was okay in the ring and everything else, but he might not have fit that type character at that particular time.
Mm-hmm. Question for Jimmy Hart. Name your two favorite coats and who designed them?
Well, you know, I always love my Hulkamania jackets and my Hart Foundation jackets, you know, because out of all the people I'm with, and you know, I got to throw Honky Tonk stuff in there, too, because, you know, we're going out with Honky and the Harts and the Hulkster was just every night it was an experience, and every night we all of us were very, very colorful, and I think that's what helped the jackets get over that much more, along with the megaphones, too.
Shockage says, can you explain how Johnny V came to manage Greg Valentine in 1985 as one half of the Dream Team? Was there a TV angle to explain the change?
Well, I'm not sure if it was or not. I think what happened, Johnny had been up there managing anyhow, or he'd gotten hurt, and he wasn't wrestling that much with the Valiant Brothers. And I was really split up doing so many different things, and I think it was Johnny was very good, and they needed a place for him, too, so I think it really worked out good for him to do stuff with those guys.
Red says, what was it like to manage the Rougeau brothers when the Hart Foundation turned face?
I was so sorry. The explosion, somebody just hit a home run. The bomb went off back there in the back. Like, bam! All right, so can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah. What was it like to manage the Rougeau brothers when the Hart Foundation turned face?
Well, it was pretty cool because Jock and Raymond were very, very good. I think they were more talented than people what really saw, but I remember bringing them to Memphis at the Sun Studio and cut a song called All American Boys. Remember the words, we don't like heavy metal, we don't like rock and roll. All we like to listen to is Barry Manilow. Hey, we're all in there. But I enjoyed being with them very much. They were the real deal. You know, the Harts, everybody loved the Harts so much. It was such an easy turn because it really made me the real, real bad villain because of me turning on the Harts because all the girls love Bret Hart, you know?
Right. Question for Jimmy Hart. Can you tell us your honest thoughts about Vince Russo?
Well, you know what? Here's my main thing. I really, and of course, here you go back to who takes credit for what, because it's funny. If something's successful, everybody takes credit for it. If something's not successful, nobody does, you know?
Right.
But I just, when they came in, I thought by trying to make us like Vince, you know, had 18 girls on a show and everything had to be eye candy and every TV camera happened to be in the dressing room, and I just think what made WCW different was by being different. And I think what they did up there was their clique, and they had fun doing it, and they did a lot of money with it. But trying to bring the same thing down, I think anytime you copy what you've done somewhere else, it really hurts sometimes, you know. And I'm not blaming Vince Russo, or I'm not blaming anybody for it. I'm just saying whoever was responsible for trying to make us like Vince, it was a bad mistake because they're different. That's like TNA. TNA needs to be different. If you're going to be different, be different. And which they are. You know, they got a little six-sided ring. They got a lot of great young stars. They're mixing it up with some of the older stars now, with Sting coming in and the Dudley Boys coming in and Christian coming in. Not that they're old, but you know what I mean.
Right.
More of a name.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to kind of get a rating up to let the people see the younger talent and just have a good mixture. A lot of people don't realize that with the XWF, we had AJ Styles. We had Christopher Daniels. We had Kid Cash. And we had some of our older stars back then. When we did the World Wrestling Legends show, we had Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell and Scott Steiner and Jimmy Cornette. 2 weeks after that, all of a sudden, Scott Steiner goes over there, so does Rick Steiner, so does Buff Bagwell, and now Jimmy Cornette going in. So
yeah.
I like to think that sometimes what we do or what I've been involved with, people might not have been thinking of, but after we do it, they go, well, that's not a bad idea. So,
right. Green Clover says, was it easy to come up with a three-count song? And he says, also, Eat Your Heart Out, Rick Springfield is one of the greatest songs ever.
Well, God bless him. Well, you know, I had fun doing that because I always loved music. And when Dave Wolf, who managed Cyndi Lauper, came to me for me to put a song on, I played it to him just off the guitar. He loved it, so he cut it. And I appreciate you saying that. I had fun doing it. The three-count song, what happened is Eric Bischoff gave me the Saturday Night Show. He said, I'm going to give you the Saturday Night Show. Nobody wants it. And I said, thank you. Well, at the time, they wasn't using Benoit and wasn't using Jericho and wasn't using Rey Mysterio and wasn't using Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero and all those younger kids. So what I did, I got to use those guys, which we had fun doing. And so they were going to get rid of, they were cutting the budget back, so they were going to get rid of all the smaller little wrestlers. So it was Evan Courageous, of course, and Shannon Moore and Shane Helms and the Young Dragons and all them. So I went out and bought the karate outfits, which would have been very, you know, special, but I wanted to do that to have something for the Young Dragons. I had to, somebody for them to do. So I just went in. At that time, Kevin Nash, I think Russo had been sent home. Kevin Sullivan had been sent home. So Nash was out for that 2 weeks. So I went to Nash. Nash said, Jimmy Hart, I love you, whatever you want to do. So we made the green circles. I went, wrote the song, cut it on the kits, and we did it. Because back then, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC were really hot. So it's just kind of a play it off that. But it turned out to be great.
On this day, I don't know if you realize it, but today is the 7th anniversary of Owen Hart's death. And the chat room is asking if you have any good memories of Owen that you could share with us.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Just being with the Harts, I remember when I used to go over to Calgary and with Brent when we wrestled there, and Owen was there, and Stu Hart always used to say, cousin Jimmy. And so I remember one day I was leaving there, and this guy came up to me and goes, Jimmy, your father is just tremendous. Well, I don't even want to argue with him and play like Stu wasn't my father, because it took longer trying to explain to people, I know my name's Hart, but I'm really not kin to him. It just happened to be that we were away. But Owen was really funny, very good in the ring, played a lot of practical jokes. But what a great, you know, what a great deal. You know, when they teamed him and Coco up, you know, because I did the bird, bird, bird for Coco and them, and we did the theme song for Owen and Coco.
Ah. No, I didn't know that one. Question from the chat room. Are you surprised at the kind of crowd reaction that Hulk Hogan gets over 20 years later?
Well, here's the thing. You can put a lot of people on TV and give them all the time in your world, but being around 10, 15, 20 years later, that separates the men from the boys. People compare money. People compare anything they want to compare with people. But if you're still going strong 20 years later, but Hulk always finds a way to invent himself, whether he's in the ring or not. The VH1 stuff is so popular right now, they just got renewed again for another year. The Jax action figure people just called about 3 weeks ago, and they're putting all the Rocky dolls out, and they had got a hold of me to get a hold of Hulk because they wanted to make sure Hulk was part of that thing in Thunderlips. So now then a whole new generation will see that. When those movies are run over and over, there's talk now of them releasing Thunder in Paradise again. So sometimes what you do in the past is they bring it back for the future. So, you know, and Hulk's, you know, when people see him, he's bigger than life. He's always been so kind to everybody, and he keeps himself in great shape.
Yeah, Thunder of Paradise must have been so much fun. Not even just the acting or the working part, just to be there. I mean, it must have been so great.
Well, it was so much fun, but I don't think we knew what we had. I think if they would release that now, which I'm thinking about doing, it's going to be more popular than ever, because a lot of people didn't realize what was really going on back then. But now with Hulk being on VH1 and all the wrestling stuff and everything else happening too, I think that series, if they go ahead and re-release it again, might turn out to be do it better now than it did back then.
Miss Destiny says, question for Jimmy, if you could invite four people, two girls, two guys, or one guy and a girl, blah, 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 to dinner, who would you pick and why?
Well, I'll tell you what. I would pick Gail Kim. I would pick Tori Wilson. And Tori used to live, her and Billy Kidman used to live down the street from me, but I think both of those guys. I watched Tori in the ring the other night when she was in the ring with her matches with the girl champion up there now for WWE. I think it was Monday night. And she's improved so much, but Tori has always been so nice to everybody when we've done autograph sessions together. And also, I think Gail Kim, I think there's so many great things they can do with her up there. I think she's engaged to one of the Basham brothers, which the Basham kid is such a great kid, too. But she always says hello to everybody up at TNA and talks so great to the kids and stuff, and I think that's good. And the other two guys would be, I don't know. The male thing would just have to be, there's just so many I would like to bring, and I can only bring two, so it'd be hard for me to choose, you know?
Right. Have you ever tried to persuade your son to pursue a career in wrestling?
No, you know what? None of my kids. I've really always felt like keeping the kids away from whatever you do it, because sometimes it makes you give them special treatment, whether you want to or not. And I think people look at wrestling a different way sometimes. You know, if you look at all the territories back, whoever had their sons wrestling for them way back then, a lot of them are out of business now, you know? I mean, and not that because the kids wasn't good, But even though I know a lot of people know everything's kind of pre-scripted now and pre-staged and everything else, it just makes it a little bit more different if your son's working for you. It's just, you know, in real life, you know you're going to give your kids special treatment no matter what. And I just, you know, back from the Nick Gulas days to all the other companies that had them, and if you look back, there's only a few surviving now. You know, Vince is running strong, and the, you know, the Jarretts are doing good, but those are about the only two companies that are out there that have that. But I've never encouraged them. They've never really wanted to, and you know, sometimes it's better off not bringing your kids into the kind of work you do anyhow.
Right. Gary Brown says, do you still own any of the old custom jackets from guys like Hogan, the Nasty Boys, or Jerry
Hall? Yeah. I've got tons of them. A lot I gave to my son when he came back from Iraq. He was over in Iraq for a year and a day during the heart of the fighting, and when he came back, I said, look, man, don't rush out and get a job right away. Take these jackets, you can sell them. Take these albums, you can sell them. I don't care. It's your money. Do whatever you want to with them. You know, the programs, anything that you can do while you get yourself together after being over a year and a half, take it and do it. No, but I've kept a lot of them.
One more question. Darkblade says, Mr. Hart, I have a question for you. What wrestling school in the South do you think is the best overall?
Which wrestling school in the South is
a
good one?
I'm assuming he wants to go to one.
Well, you know what? I've never been in one myself, so I'd hate to recommend one. I'd kind of look and see which stars have come out of the best schools. Didn't Les Thatcher have a school at one time, I believe, right?
I just got it.
And I think it was doing very, very well at one time. And so you kind of got to look and see, you know, but here's what, if I had a school, or a company or whatever, here's what I'd do. I'd do everything just backwards. What I found out, that sometimes you see big guys, small guys, or whatever, that look like they have potential. But I think I would have to take these guys out 2 months before I put them in the ring. Let them sign autographs. Take them out with you in the park. See how they handle the people for month after month. See how they really can do, you know, how their personality really is in and out of the ring. And if you can get some guy with a good personality that handles the people right, those are the guys I want to train. Unfortunately, a lot of people train these guys that think are going to be good, but they don't have a personality, and then they wind up biting you in the butt by it, and it really hurts you.
Right. One more question before we get out of here. Heel wants to know, at Bash at the Beach 96, when Hogan turned heel, was there any concern of rioting from WCW management?
No, you know what? I knew that a lot of things were going to be thrown. They knew a lot of things were going to happen like that. It was a rowdy crowd anyhow. But we had everything in place. Doug Dillinger, who was great back then, been around wrestling forever, he had everything under control. We had a lot of people ready just in case, and it made good TV. Hey, before I leave, I just want to tell you guys, thank you tonight for everything, but I have my brand-new energy drink in participating 7-Elevens around the country right now. Shameless plug. It's called Mouth of the South Wrestling All-Stars. And if you get a chance, go check it out. And next month they're going into Circle K's, too. So I don't know if y'all have 7-Elevens up around your area, but whoever's listening to the show, please go check it out. It's got a picture of Jimmy Hart on it and, of course, a little story on the back. But we'd be so grateful.
Awesome, awesome. Jimmy, I want to thank you for being on the show. We still have so many more questions that didn't get answered. We need to, you know, we need to wrap things up, though. Hopefully we can have you back soon.
Well, and check out World Wrestling Legends. It's on In Demand for the next month or so. And also, don't forget, this coming Monday, if you're around Universal Studios, Orlando, Florida, it's absolutely free to get in. See a tremendous show, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. Got a lot of great younger stars and a lot of guys from the past on the show. We'd love to have you guys out there.
All right, Jimmy, you take care of yourself.
All right.
You soon.
All right,
Jimmy, good luck.
We love you, Les. Bye, baby. Thank y'all, guys. Thank y'all. Bye.
He didn't say never trust a midget. We didn't have time for that. we got to get going. We're running over time. Les, it's been a great one-year anniversary show.
All right. And who we got next week?
We've got Christy Hemme is going to be on the show next week. And keep checking the website. We'll have another guest up there for you. We're looking at a big one. So keep checking WrestlingWeekly.com. Don't forget to check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com for all your wrestling needs. Thanks to the Wrestling Radio Network, guys. Keep checking them out every week. Check us out at WrestlingWeekly.com. Of course, Les Thatcher has his sites at LesThatcher.com and EPWT.com as the Elite Pro Wrestling Training Centers. Anyway, I'm trying to rush because I'm trying to get off the air, but Les, it's been a great show. Thank you for being with me once again.
All right. It's been a great year, Doc.
It's been a great year. We're going to have another great year.
All right, kiddo.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Take care.